Christianity is a serious matter. Many of listen, you are not going to succeed in life because you know the principles of business success. One thing only guarantees success for you is called the grace of God. That's all. Your primary assignment in life is to learn how to tap into grace. When a woman taps into grace, the mistakes he or she makes brings forth a blessing. It's called the power of his resurrection. Any error you make, any evil. Now, this sounds funny. Even if you deliberately do wrong, when God has forgiven you, it will appear as if that evil was necessary for your progress. It's called the power of his resurrection. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's what the assignment of a believer is. To labor to enter into the place where grace is flowing into his life, into her life, into whatever it is the person is doing. I hope you know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Listen. Back to that Revelations. He said he has purchased with his blood. I said blood is a currency. Life is a currency in the realm of the spirit. And where we have been struggling, what God, the reason why men struggle, that's why I went into all of that, is because they are under a curse. That's why. And the Bible says that he has purchased. Now let me say something to you. Something just came to my mind. Tell your neighbor, pause. Just press pause. You will release the pause in a moment. Somebody is going to say, a question will come to your heart, and I feel like quickly answering it. Okay. Pastor Banky, what is this you are saying? You said that we should not labor the way the world labors. The principle of business they use is not what we are supposed to use. How do we use all these things to bring forth success in life? It's a good question. They came to Jesus also and asked that question. And I'm going to give you the same answer he gave. He said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, believe. What is my answer to you for that question in your heart? As I'm preaching this message, just be accepting it, believing it. How it will play out in your life is another book to be written.
Amen.
I hope you have understood. Okay, if I won't do business the way they are doing it, how do I do it? No, you don't need an answer to that. What you need is simple. I will not do business the way they are doing it because Jesus has delivered me from doing business like a man, like a woman under a curse. Amen. Leave it like that. That is foolishness of preaching. Men, women of God, they succeed simply by giving attention to the word that is preached. The world thinks you must give them methods. And that is why he said, what must we do to work the works of God? Listen, this is how the work of God works. Alright, the word of God works. As long as you are hearing it, it will enter into you and form the precepts of God in you. You start operating by divine understanding. Listen, what is your assignment? All these things I'm doing, your own job is to sit down and listen. Tell that to your neighbor. Your own job. Tell the person, your job is to listen, listening. In case you are wondering what that means, there are two kinds of listening. You listen, let's hear what he has to say. Or you are listening that this is the word of eternal life. Let it enter into me and produce results. Mary came, an angel came to Mary. And the angel spoke a lot of things. And Mary said, you are telling me not to follow the principles of the business school. Gabriel said, yes. So you know what she said? Let it be unto me according to your word. Everybody say it. Say, let it be unto me.
According to this word.
It's crucial. Now tell your neighbor, now release that pause. Let's continue the preaching. No, that sidetrack, all right, was very, very important. Let's just, you know, we need to point that one out. Now, I said men operate under a curse. But Jesus came and purchased with his blood you and me from every tribe, he says, from every tongue and people and nation. You know, we went into this to bring out an issue. That he said, you were slain and purchased for God. It's very important you understand this. Because, you know, we started by reading that that portion of Exodus 29. Where he said that this must be done constantly, continually, throughout your generations. At the door of meeting, where I will come to communicate with you, blood must be shed. That blood is the repair of the connection between the spiritual realm and your life. That's what he was saying. And we have pointed out now that this blood, that blood that time was a type, all right, of the blood of Christ that should be shed. And we are reading here that the Bible says, Jesus, he was slain, and with his blood, he purchased for God, you and me. You know, I said we'll just read a few scriptures just to drum that one in. I don't think I need to remind us. When John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. That is, this is a Lamb that was slain. In the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ, there was never a time men met with God and they did not have to shed the blood of an animal. God said, I have given it to you as a redemption, all right, the atonement for your souls. And what's my emphasis to us again today? That atoning blood is the blood of Jesus. That blood was not shed, let me say it again, to be pursuing your enemies. All my enemies, the blood of Jesus. Tell your neighbor it's not necessary. That blood was shed to connect you back to God. That blood was shed to ensure that that corrosion in that flow, are you getting my point? You know, there's a pipe, it's been corroded, things have blocked it. That blood was shed to cleanse it entirely so that the connection between you and God right now is unbroken. God said, for me to communicate and meet with the people of Israel, they must shed blood there, offer sacrifices constantly, twice a day. What does that mean? That the blood of Jesus has been shed. It means God can communicate with you anytime, any day. Are you getting my point? No, it's important for you to understand that you now have a connection with God continually. It's crucial we get this point, that there is no longer any... No, Jesus said something at the time. He said, I'm not telling you I'll even beg the Father for you. I am telling you that if you ask anything, the Father himself loves you. That is, between you and God now, there is no, there's nobody there. There's no obstruction there. There is just a straight connection between you and the Father. Why? Because the blood of that lamb has been shed. We need to magnify this thing again. I hope you're getting my point. Let me say this again. You therefore don't come to God and want to explain to him what you have done to make you able, qualified to come. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. Those days when we forced to hear it, we didn't understand fully what it meant. But these days, I understand it more. And why do I understand it? Because so much preaching has now been done explaining to people that before you can come to God, you must bring something. I finally understood what we were taught then, that nothing is necessary. I hope you're getting my point. Because I've heard this said so many times, and I want to tell Christians, no. When you are coming to God, you come boldly. How do you come?
Boldly.
How do you come?
Boldly.
How do you come?
Boldly.
I didn't hear you.
Boldly.
You know what it means to come boldly? Without fear. Not checking whether everything is complete. Did you dress well? You know what it means to come boldly? Check whether the offering has been credited to God's account. Say, God, did you get the alert? You know what it means? Without having to do that. You know what it means to come boldly? Is there anything I have done that will prevent this coming from being successful? That it without such thoughts. You know what it means to come boldly? It's the same way a child just sees the parent and just rushes at the father. That's what it is. Boldly, that is, I'm not checking whether I'm okay. I hope you're getting what I'm saying.
Yes,
no. Boldly, it means I don't have to praise and worship God first before I make my requests. All those teachings we do is unboldly. It's timidity. It's fear. You want to pray. You have not yet praised. So we have come to ask, but we have to take an hour to praise. I just want to be where you are. Have I got to check in the time? Dwelling daily in your presence. All the angels, they can see through you like this. They're embarrassed for you. Lord, we just worship your most holy name because you are so good. Our God is just looking. Say, this girl is not bold. This boy is not bold. All this praise is because he wants to come in. Tell your neighbor, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Just come in. When you get there, do what you came to do. If you came to praise, then you praise. If you came to ask, ask. Don't ask God, please, oh, before I make this my request. I just want to confess, say, they are alert. You don't get them. Say, Baba God, say, which alert? That there was an offering we sent 2 days ago towards this prayer. We needed to make sure the offering has softened your heart, you wicked soul. Or like Catholic said, Jesus, has your mother talked to you? You know, all of us, you know the funny thing about Christians, eh? They will divide themselves into camps. A lot of them will just be misbehaving. The Pentecostal will say to the Catholic, Jesus does not need to hear from his mother before he answers your prayer. But he needs to see your offering. He said, if your offering is not complete, forget it though. Is it complete? Lord said, what is the offering for? Yes, that's what I have come to explain. You know, you said it's tenfold. Is it 100-fold? You said yes. I calculated it. That was 10,000 naira. 100-fold return is 1,000,000. I came today to ask you for 1,000,000 naira. Tell your neighbor, that's timidity. That is not boldness. Boldness is I ask. Even if your mother is not around, I ask. Even if you never get the alert, I ask. Even if I not give, I ask. Say, you praise God. I say, God, no time for praise right now. Emergency. Say, Lord, do this one. We will praise after. Just do this thing. Then sometimes you show up. Anything? No, it's time for praise. I just woke up this morning and realized that you have been a good God. So that's, you don't need anything. No. Just start singing. God of miracles, now my papa, oh. And the angels who came from another church said that, what is he asking for? They said, keep quiet, this is not that your church. You know, some angels, they go to a church where things not straight. Maybe they just reposted them to your environment. They will see praise and dance in the whole family. They are thanking God and worshiping. So they are waiting to record the prayer point. So when you finish, you thank God for the ability to worship and you go about your business. So they look and say, this is a different Christian home. Because they came from a church where they were on guard before, where every praise has an ulterior motive. Every gift has a rope attached to it. Go forth and go and bring me something. Tell your neighbor again, that's not boldness. Boldness is we just walk in. We don't have to wind in with praise first. Why? Because at the tent of meeting, at the door of meeting, the blood has been shed once and for all. And the Bible says it does not need to be shed again. That this is constantly effective. That's why we can be bold. We're not getting there now. All right? Trying to check whether things have been arranged properly. The blood has been shed. Every offense has been covered. Therefore, we walk into the throne of grace boldly. We obtain mercy. We find grace. I said something on Tuesday. God, you know, if you have an issue, maybe you want to pay rent, and you have a very friendly uncle or father who is very, very rich. And he said, what do we do? He said, let's call my father. You know, it's, how much is the money? 200,000. Let's call my father. And we relax. And your friends relax. Have you called your father? I say yes. And for your friends that don't have an earthly rich father to call, I said it on Tuesday, they can easily also say, let me just tell God about it, then we can go. I don't know what I get on say. That's called boldness. Let's magnify the works of Jesus again. That was what he came to do. The primary thing he came to do, all right, that is blood. It has paid for all. You know, I told you before, in the realm of the spirit, transaction is life. It's life. If men succeed by their own strength, they have to take the energy from somewhere else. Sometimes their heart, that the heart in their chest, the dose of life given to it to beat, they convert it to business success. So at the age of 50, he has a heart problem. I don't know whether I get my point. That does it. It's life. They said, God said, this one should live to be 110 on this earth. And that's why men don't live long anymore. So he succeeds and succeeds and succeeds. In different areas, he succeeds in raising children well, succeeds in having a good home, that is a very good husband to the wife. But he had to tap 30 years out of his life. Convert it to family success. Convert it to business success. So by the time he's 60, he's frail. He manages to push on to the age of 70, then he dies. Why? There's no life left to carry him to the age of 100 and beyond. Are you getting my point? Go and study physics. You will learn this thing. It's in chemistry. The intercompatibility of energy is there. That's what men do. So when you read some of these books you are reading, they are telling you how to live short and prosper. And in the occult, they do it real. But Jesus said, it's not necessary. You will succeed by my life. You will live long by my life. It's called grace. No, we're in that Revelation chapter 5. He said he was slain. And by his blood, he has purchased you and me from different tribes, different tongues, different peoples, and different nations. Let's just read verse 10 to complete it. And have made us to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and we will reign upon the earth. You know, why did he add we will reign upon the earth? Because Adam was supposed to reign upon the earth. Then he went into bondage because of sin. Because of the blood of Jesus, we also will reign upon the earth. Amen. Let me say this to you again. Poverty is not your portion.
Amen.
Let me say it to you again. Lack is not your portion.
Amen.
Frustration is not your portion.
Amen.
Sickness is not your portion.
Amen.
Why? Simply because he said you have been bought by his blood. Therefore, you will reign upon the earth. That's what sacrifice. When you see it, that's what he's talking about. Under that, before the time of Jesus, any man, any woman, any family, any people that met with God, they had to shed the blood of an animal so as to cover the sin. And that blood was a type. It was a foretaste. When you did that, what you were doing is that you were exercising your faith in the true blood that will be shed later. Because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. So why was it shed? Every man who did that, what was he doing? He was exercising his or her faith in that sacrifice that Jesus was going to make himself later on. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole. Now that hole is not just lateral, it is to the front and to the back. That is, it's not just those who are alive at that time. It's the people that will live later, and listen to this, and those who lived before. We're talking about the work of Christ. Christians must know it. Jesus is not a prophet. He was not a prophet like Muhammad. He was not a teacher like Buddha. He was not a mystic like Krishna. No. He may have taught people. Fine. He may have prophesied. Fine. He may have known how to enter into the realms of God. Fine. But that was not what he was. He was the Lamb of God that was to take away the sins of everybody. Please don't forget this. Sin is not a bad habit. What did I say? Many of the good habits of people, they are sin, iniquity. After what you call good and bad is based upon the laws of the society, how you were raised up. Yes, many of the good things we do that we think they are not sins, they are sin in the sight of God. What is sin? Sin is just once something is not the exact order that God said it should be in. And let me just make a joke of this. There are societies where the law is, if a woman is sitting and a man comes, the woman should get up. Yes. Not abroad. In Nigeria here. But we read the law of God. Say, come on, don't be wicked. Who is stronger? You or that woman? He said, it is me. Then the woman needs the seat. You remain standing. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? There are many, in fact, business world today is iniquity. What did I call it? Anytime you go out just to go and make money, you're a sinner. Did you hear what I said? Well, let me not sit on sin now. Yes. He said, ah, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to go out to go and bless people. That's your primary assignment. Money is just a measure of your activity. You're supposed to go out to go and bless people. I don't mean get up and be sharing out your goods. That is called unprofitable servanthood. There are things that are proper. But I'm trying to say that the primary thing in your heart is not how much money you are making, but how much blessing you are to people. I'm just trying to say that people offend a lot of times. They don't realize they are offending. But whatever be the offense, that's actually where I'm going. Whatever be the sin, whether it's a moral problem, whether it's something that is good, that you thought was good, but it's actually iniquity, whatever it is, behold the Lamb of God that takes away all your sins. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The good works that you did, that you thought were good, but they were bad, they have been forgiven. You know, why am I saying this? Christians often get hung up on the small good they know to do. They don't know there's plenty of good they have not yet learned how to do. But I've come with good news for you again today. Don't worry about it. What did I say? Why? Behold the Lamb of God that has taken away all your sins. He said, what will not happen? Listen, as you walk with God, he will start teaching you. Are you getting my point? You'll start learning what is right to do in his presence and what is wrong to do in his presence. But your sins have been washed away. Let me say it again. My God, I'm just on this point. But I have to say it now. Your ancestors' sin don't exist as far as you are concerned. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
they do not what? Exist. Why? Behold the Lamb of God that has taken away all the sins of the ancestors. Is he active in your life? Do you believe? That's all. Everything I've been saying today, just be saying amen in your heart. Because you will still go back home and you will see a fiery preacher, like a fiery preacher, shouting, the reason why you fell down 2 times today is because your ancestors used to jump gutters. So right now we are going to rise up and break the effect of the sins of the ancestors. Tell your neighbor, it is not necessary. Why? Behold the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the ancestors. Jesus, you know, I know I'm sound like a broken down record. I'm going around the same point again and again, but I will not stop until everybody believes it. Jesus came to shed his blood so that you might be forgiven.
Amen.
He came to shed his blood so you might be healed.
Amen.
He came to shed his blood so that you might prosper in life.
Amen.
He came, he shed his blood so that you won't die young.
Amen.
Listen, this is your own portion. Listen to this. A day will come. I won't talk about death. You will look and say, I have tried. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I have done all that I was supposed to do. The story of a man impressed me so much. Theodore Ebb. He went to give a lecture in a Bible school. He read from the writing of Paul to Timothy that I have finished the course. I have run the race. There remains now for me a crown of glory and all of that and all of that. And when he finished, he said, I can still say like Paul, I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I have run my course. And he died that week. How old was he? I can't remember. But you know it's irrelevant.
Yes, sir.
If a man tells you, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And listen, nobody will cry over you. They will rejoice and say, you have tried. You have blessed multitudes. When I say cry now, of course, people will feel some loss. I mean, a dear one has gone. But not regret. Hey, what could have been? No, that will be not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What will happen to you is that people will say, yes. Man, this man, this woman left a legacy. He or she did what God said he should do or she should do. That's what your life will be in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because behold the Lamb of God. I hope you are getting my point. People say, pray hard so that evil won't come upon you. Listen to me, evil will not come upon you.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the whole world. Sow a seed so that you will live long. It's not necessary. Why? The Lamb of God has taken away all your sins. All the curses that are supposed to keep you down. Jesus came, shed his blood, and washed them away. He bought them. You know what it means to buy?
Yes, sir.
They were somebody's legitimate possession. Sin was lord over them. The devil was their master. He was controlling their lives. He was determining their destinies. But Jesus came and paid and redeemed. That word redemption, that's what it means. To redeem means to buy back. You don't belong to the devil anymore.
Amen.
I've said this to you again and again. Let me say it again. The devil can't just wake up in the morning and decide to knock your head. His hand will break before it comes near your skull. You know why? He's not your you are not his property. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? He has taken the payment. Let me just explain what it means to be paid. There was a house we were living in some time ago. We had paid 2 years rent. You know the way it is. 9 months into our rent, the landlord said he wanted to sell his house. It's his house. Can't he sell it? He can sell it. So one night, the young man came to the landlord came to town with the young man who wanted to buy it. So the dad came to our house. So then the young man said that he would like us to move us in 3 months. Move out in 3 months. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. We didn't come to an agreement. I said, everybody get up and leave my house. You know what I said? I said, everybody get up and get out. I said, listen, I'm only respecting the presence of this. That's the current landlord at that time. You can sit down. The rest of you get up and go. I said, get up and go. Why? I had paid rent for 2 years, until the rent expires. I mustn't see your leg here. I'm not joking. My wife was there that day. I said, listen, it's night. I have to sleep. You've come to my house. I didn't, listen, the man who owned the house was sitting down there. The one who had just paid him was sitting down there. And I said, I'm sorry. Until the next 30 months, because by that time, it was like 30 months with the expiry of the rent. I don't want to see your leg here. That night, everybody get up. I'm sorry. It's already night. I'm sorry, I have to retire. Because the guy annoyed me. And I made it clear to him. In case you do not know, I understand laws. I understand things. This house has been leased out to me. But why did I say all of that? Next time the devil comes near your house, they say, move, move, move. You have collected your payment. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I have been bought. I have been paid for. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't belong to you anymore. Why should anybody be lying to you that the ancestral spirit in your village are still holding you in bondage? When you are not offering yam and animals and what they call the oil to them anymore. All you are doing is worshipping God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say to them, I don't belong to them. They can't worry me.
Yes, sir.
What did I say?
I don't belong to them. They can't worry me.
They can't. Because I have been purchased. Oh, I pray Christians will understand this thing. You have been purchased. You don't need to run up and say that if you go to America, you will prosper. Listen, you have been purchased from the hands of poverty.
Amen.
Anywhere in life you are in, you will prosper there.
Amen.
What I'm saying to you is important. It is true. It is the word of God. The reason why Christians suffer is that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why I'm sitting on this point and I'm not leaving it. I want you to understand, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't belong to the devil anymore. A price has been paid. Now you belong to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now you belong to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't belong to the devil. He can't just wake up and say, let me kill him. You know, I will read the rest of the scriptures later. Let's talk. I hear Christians say that they said that there was one woman in our family, in our village, that said to my mother that I will not marry, and that's why I have not married. Now, let us go and break the curse. Please talk to your neighbor for me again and say, Aran nonsense.
Aran nonsense.
I've heard a lot of lies, and you know, I've heard testimonies. When I finish the testimony, I just say simply to my wife, I don't believe it. He said, the person has confessed. I said, the confession does not make the word of God a lie. A witch's confession. Most of those so-called witches. You know, I studied medicine. No, God made sure that I went to medical school to learn a lot of things. Half of them, they are not witches. They are mentalos. What did I call them?
Mentalos.
Old women that have paraphrenia. You can go and Google what is paraphrenia. And I'll be confessing that I was the one that brought problem into a Christian's family. And the Christian will not come to church, praise the Lord. After last week's prayer, and we began to fire the missiles. The missile, you should be ashamed of yourself. You, child of God, a witch sat down in the village, was casting spells over you. It was afflicting you, and you were not ashamed. You came to come and testify again about it. Shame on you. If anything goes wrong with me, and a witch can say, I was the one that did that, get out if I give you a kick in the face. Can you do anything? Why have you not prospered yourself? I told the story one of my brethren many years ago. Their little son died. And a neighbor came. Hey, we have found out that it is that woman. She's a witch. She's the one that killed your son. And my friend, the woman now, the couple with both of our friends, she said she burst out laughing. She reeled with laughter and told the woman, don't worry, no witch can kill my son. You can come and start going home. If a lot of Christians, you know what they would do? Are you serious? Off to church. War. War. Exactly. Fire for fire. Fire for fire. Your problem is you are afraid. You are timid. Actually, in the realm of the spirit, you are timid. You think you are bold. You are timid. You are timid. My friend said she roared with laughter. She bent over with laughter and told the woman, me and my God, we get issues to handle. But that witch has no part to play in my life. And it's like, I have to, you know, Satan is wicked. Satan entered into that one to come and put strife and disorder inside that family. And the woman said, no, I'm sorry, I refuse to buy it. I said, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. Pastor Parker, he said there are no witches. Who cares? Who cares? Do you care? This carpet, this floor, your clothes, if you know the amount of mycobacteria in there, you wouldn't want to wear them. But you don't care. Why?
You have an immune system that ensures that all of them, as far as you are concerned, have no effect. Why? Spiritually now, you have been purchased with his blood. Satan can't just wake up in the morning and say, let me knock the head of this one. No, he doesn't do it. Let nobody see visions for you. We saw that witches gathered. They said you won't prosper. We saw that witches gathered. They said you won't have children. We saw that witches gathered. Any preacher that sees that is blind. Any preacher that sees that in the life of a Christian is a blind guy. He's not seeing far enough. I will listen to that vision if you will finish it. If you do it halfway, I say, oh boy, your visions are not complete. You are seeing men as trees. Go back and go and pray some more. This your anointing never mature. It is they germinate. Otherwise, if it's my life as a Christian, you will have ended with, don't worry, Jesus has overcome. You can't come and listen. This is how you know a lie. Tell your neighbor it's a lie. Now, this is how you know a lie. Alright? This is how you know it. When they describe, when anybody sees a vision for you, describes the activities of Satan and prescribes prayer, offering, don't go out, stay at home for you as a solution. Quote me for the person. Pastor Banky said, I should tell you, this your vision is a lie. This is a true vision. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. A true vision will start like, anyhow, let me forget how it starts, but it must end with one thing. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It must end a true vision. Jesus will say, look, they're about to persecute you, do this to you, but don't worry. He that endures to the end shall be saved. That's the end of it. Those who come and start telling you that witches gathered and they said that this your business will not do well, he says, sir, so what must I do? You will come for 7 days prayer. Tell them, I said, that Pastor Banky said, that I should tell you that it is a lie. That you are blind. You don't see well. That prophet, go back home, pray some more. You woke up halfway through that vision. You will have heard the rest of the vision. They will have told you, they gathered, but it was not because of me. So they scattered because they gathered against me. You will have heard that. You will have heard that no weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. You will have heard that. You will have heard that every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. You will have heard that. You come in here to come and tell me a nonsense vision because you want to scare me into prayer. I will not pray because witches are gathered. Never! Any witch that gathered has scattered. They gathered about confusion. They will reap, which word now? Is it consternation? There's one big English word like that. They will reap confusion. They are not worthy of my time. You see Christians testifying. When Papa began to pray last time, as I was just saying Holy Ghost fire, they were scattering the village. Tell the person, shame on you. Shame on you. You say you are a child of God, which is gathered in the village against you and it was affecting you. Yes, now when you won't remove your hand from iniquity, thanks for reporting yourself to all of us in church. Yes. After all, how did they get into you? Their testimony, shame no go give me give. Please, I hope you've got what I'm saying. I hope you've got what I said. Listen to me. You have been bought. What did I say?
I have been bought.
You know what it means? You now belong. Said somebody, I belong.
To God.
Not to a witch.
Not to demons.
Not to Satan.
I have been bought.
I have been bought.
With the blood of Jesus.